Welcome to the Compass Church podcast and thanks for tuning in. We hope that you enjoy the message that you're about to hear.
It's a bonus one. And so when you read the Gospels, you go, how come the Gospels record some of that but not some of that? It's because it's what they saw. And sometimes Mark wasn't there. And so in Matthew, added on to this big day of parables, there's this other story where Jesus, it says that the kingdom of heaven is like a man who walks along in a field, and as he's walking along, he stubs his toe on something, he turns around, he dusts away the mud, and he finds treasure, like my kids in the roadside collection, finds treasure, something that everybody else had walked past, but he finds treasure, this, I don't know if it was a vein of gold or if it was a box of treasure. It says he goes away, he sells everything he has that he might be able to buy that piece of land and own the treasure in it. That's what the kingdom of it. And that for me speaks so much of the nature of God. Now, he looked at my life and your life when we were showing God. You know when we have those worship times and you show God all your mud? You're like in worship going, God, but you know I lost my temper, and you know that I didn't read my Bible enough, and you know that I did this. And God's like, ah, gold. That's the heart of God for us. He sees your gold, not your mud. Isn't that incredible? Isn't that God? It's brilliant. A couple of days after the roadside collection, I'm walking along the same patch, walking my three-year-old. We're going to go pick up the boys from school. And we're walking along, and I hear this, Dad! I found it! And he's holding up this thing, and I'm like, what are you holding? Because with my three-year-old, it's all about rocks and sticks and fire trucks. That's his life. That's pretty much happiness right there. And he's holding up this thing, and I go, that could be anything. But it's a nest. It's this bird's nest that's fallen out of a tree. And I walk over and I'm like, how am I going to get rid of this? He's like holding it close. He goes, Dad, can I keep it? I say, yeah, son. Yep, no worries. What we'll do is we'll just put it down here and we'll get it on the way back, okay? Because that's how you get your kids to forget. You've all done it. And he goes, okay, Dad, and we go off, we get the boys, and on the way back, he's just a beeline, straight there. Oh, Dad, I got it, don't worry. And it's gross, you know, it's sticks and twigs and bits of rubbish and feathers and bird poo, and it's just like, ah. I go, okay, well, I did say we could keep it, so we took it home, we put it on top of the fridge, I don't know why. But what happened is a couple of weeks later, I pulled it off, and I'm looking at this thing, I'm looking at this nest and the intricacy of this nest. This nest that is full of twigs and full of rubbish and things that we have walked past and stepped on and trodden on. But somebody with eyes to see was able to take a twig and a piece of paper and a bit of rubbish and a feather and was able to entwine it into a place of incubation and safety where young would raise up and grow and eventually be sent out. And again, I am struck by the comparison to the church of today. You know what, even here in this church, as beautiful as you are, just turn to the person next to you and say, you are beautiful. Come on, do it. Men, this is your moment. Did you do it? Did you do it? Yeah, you did it right to that person. Yeah, that person is beautiful. But even in a church full of wonderful people, even a church full of people who have attained a level of success in life, not many of us are superstars. Not many of us are rock stars. Not many of us are living in mansions by the sea. Maybe you are. God bless you if you are. But the truth of the matter is most of us at some point in our life have felt walked on and have felt trodden on and have felt forgotten. Have you ever felt forgotten? You ever felt left out? You ever felt discarded? You ever felt overlooked? Well, this nest, as I look at it, I go, this nest with eyes with somebody to see is a place of safety and incubation of things that were just like us. People who were overlooked, ignored, average. I'm not criticizing, that's me. But God, in his great wisdom, has eyes to see, has the ability to take you and I and create an amazing church. I want to go a little deeper. The guy who wrote these stories, Mark, he was part of the 70. And if you understand the context of Mark, Mark was probably a little bit like you and me. Mark was a guy who, he loved Jesus and he saw so much good in Jesus. But there were times in his life, in fact, Bible history tells us that Mark, the guy who wrote the Gospel of Mark, he actually at one point in his life, he turned and walked away from Jesus. They said that at the time when Jesus, he had, you know, he talked about, he'd done great miracles, he'd done great things. And then Jesus had spoken about, take up your cross, it's going to be a tough life. And Mark said, you know what? I just hear Mum calling. It's just a bit rugged out here. It's a bit tough. And the Bible history tells us that Mark walked away from Jesus. Now, he didn't stay away, obviously, but he had made a major mistake. Is anybody here, you may not have walked away from Jesus, but you've made a major mistake in life. You feel as though, I wish I could go back. I wish I had a Control-Alt-Delete button in life that I could just go back a few steps, right? And so here's this guy, Mark. Well, Mark, he does okay. He obviously, he keeps going. He becomes part of it. He does a missions trip with Paul. And in Book of Acts, it talks about Mark goes on a missions trip with Paul. And he goes on a missions trip with Paul and this guy called Barnabas, who happens to be his cousin. Well, Barnabas is the son of encouragement. That's his nickname. And Barnabas is a really fascinating character in the Bible. It says that when Paul, or as we know him, Saul has this great conversion. You know, Saul converting on the road to Damascus. That Saul is just going along on the road to Damascus. He's going to kill Christians. And he's struck by this light from heaven. And this light from heaven knocks him to the ground. And he hears this voice from heaven, and it says,
Saul, why are you pushing against the goads?
To which Saul, of course, answers, what's a goad?
He says, it's a sharp stick used to prod cattle in the right direction.
Oh. He says, well, who are you, Lord?
He says, I am Jesus.
That's a bad moment. When you are on your way to kill the followers of Jesus and you hear a voice from heaven, it says, I am Jesus, and it knocks you to the ground and makes you blind. That's a terrible moment, right? That's a moment of great revelation in your life that you're unlikely to forget in a hurry. And so Saul is knocked to the ground. It says he's taken then to Damascus. He's blind. He has this experience with Jesus. He doesn't know what to do with it. And nobody will believe him. He goes and knocks on the door of the Christian. He goes, g'day everyone, it's Saul here. Can I come in? I've become a Christian. They're like, no, no, you cannot come in. But it says that this guy by the name of Barnabas, Barney, sees him, believes him, and gets alongside him and spends years alongside him as the encouragement. Understand that Barnabas was just a twig like you or me. Barnabas wasn't an incredible leader as such. He wasn't an incredible preacher. In fact, none of his messages are recorded in the Bible. He wasn't a phenomenal writer. There is no book of Barnabas. He was just an encourager. And my encouragement to you today is that every person in this nest has the ability to do something phenomenal in the kingdom of God. If you would just take on the attitude of an encourager. I am here to encourage. I am here to encourage the pastor. I am here to encourage the coffee guru. I'm here to encourage Nick on the sound and the lights with all the setup that he does. I'm here to encourage Katie in her new role. I'm here to encourage the baby Christian or the new person who doesn't even know Jesus yet. I'm here to encourage. I'm going to take it on. Because when we think of Barnabas, we often think, oh, what a nice guy. Oh, what a nice fella. He's so encouraging. What we fail to see is that two-thirds of the New Testament wouldn't exist except for Barnabas. Because if Saul had just sat there blind on his own and nobody had ever encouraged him, he would never have written over half of the New Testament. Not only that, But the book of Mark wouldn't exist if not for Barnabas. You know why? Because Barnabas and Mark and Paul went on a mission trip. They went on this fantastic mission trip. It was awesome. And then Barnabas got to the end of the mission trip. Has anyone ever been on a mission trip? It's stressful, right? It's hard. You got to eat different food. You got to catch those planes. You got to get all the young people to catch the planes with you, which is tough. Don't miss anyone. Don't lose anyone. Don't die. Bad phone calls to phone a parent and say, oh, you're sorry, kid died, but don't worry, they were doing it unto the Lord. Not a great phone call. And he did a mission trip. It says Mark did a mission trip. It says in Acts chapter 19, I believe it is. It says he did a mission trip, and then Mark said, I'm out. I'm done. And Paul, as we now know him, Paul was a fairly black and white sort of guy. Paul said, Mark, if you leave, you're dead to me. It says that there was a severe dispute amongst the brethren. Don't you love the Bible? That it doesn't sort of candy coat everything. It's like there was a raging blue. So if you're in a conflict with somebody, even a Christian, it's okay. You're being biblical. How you solve it is important, but it's okay. You're not, you know, the other person isn't Satan and neither you. So they had this raging blue and Paul said, that's it. You're dead to me. If you leave, don't let the door hit you where the Lord split you. And Mark says, I'm gone. I can't do this anymore. And he walks out. And then the incredible thing is, Barnabas says, Paul, I love you, but I have to go with him. I have to encourage him. He's young. This is what I have to do. It says that Barnabas went with Mark. You know what? That's the last we hear of Barney. No book of Barney. It's not the last we hear of Mark. Years and years and years later, where Paul is in prison in Rome, he says, please send Mark to me. I need him to encourage me. I really believe, this is a simple message, I really believe that we have underplayed the value of encouragement. At times we overemphasize some of this stuff. When some of the gold is uncovered at the back, when just average people like me and you have an incredible ability to build the kingdom of God with our words, with encouraging, life-giving words. I've got three keys, if you're taking notes, three keys to building a nurturing life. Number one, be discerning. Listen to God and not just the crowd. When everybody was terrified by Saul, Barnabas didn't listen to those who were naysayers. He listened to the Lord. He had a relationship with God. And how do you get a relationship with God? You read your Bible and you pray and you still your life and you turn off the footy sometimes, apart from when Fremantle's playing. It's okay. And you allow time to hear from God. Number one, be discerning. Number two, don't hit and run. When Saul went to a place called Antioch and they said, please go and check it out, check that this is all legit, he says, okay, I'll go and check it out. And then he stayed for 3 years. He didn't just hit and run, didn't just come in and say, yep, preach a good sermon, and then he's gone. He did what Phil and Nat are doing, like your leaders are doing, the real heroes of the place, the ones who say, right, we are here to serve and we're here to stay. That's why praying mums are so effective. Just give me a little wave if you had a praying mum. Yeah, that's why praying mums are so effective, because they don't hit and run. Sometimes they hit, right? It's okay. Sometimes they hit, but they don't hit and run. They will pray until they are grey. They will pray until the grave for their sons and their daughters if they're lost. And if they're with Jesus, then they'll pray for them as well. That's why praying mums are so effective. And number three, make a habit of forgiving other people. You know, Barnabas went after Mark. When Mark mucked up as one of the 70 and he walked away, he lost a lot of reputation. But he came back and years later wrote the Gospel of Mark. It shows that everybody can bounce back. When Mark mucked up a second time, and maybe if it was me, I'd go, come on, man, how many times do I have to forgive this guy? Keeps mucking up, keeps messing around, keeps making big mistakes. He should know better by now. You ever said those words? Me too. But Barney says, I'm the son of encouragement, and I believe I can do something powerful in Mark's life, even though right now he's walking away back to the comfort of Jerusalem. I'm nothing special, but I can create a nest for this young guy to eventually fly. Encouragement is so powerful. A few years ago, almost 10 years ago, I had probably the hardest moment, the hardest time of ministry that I ever experienced. I was running Youth Alive in Western Australia, which was going well. And we'd sort of had a number of successes. We're on this sort of upward ascendancy and probably had a bit of cockiness about us. Pretty sure that what we were going to do was going to be blessed. And I remember we booked this venue for our major statewide event. And people were coming 600, 700 kilometres to this event. In the thousands. And we booked this venue. It was a brand new venue, $130 million convention center. And we were the first ever client to use this center. Everyone was so excited. And unfortunately, for $130 million, you don't get audio checks, apparently. Because when we got in there, it was an incredible echo chamber, and we had no time to set up, we had no time to put up anything. We just got there and had to perform. You know, the speaker stood up and he said, I want to welcome you. It was just a mess. It was horrible. And there was 6,000 people there, all looking at each other going, what did he say? And I'm in charge. I was shattered. I was absolutely shattered. I had invested so much. I'd invested years into that moment only to see it crushed. And I went home and I lay on my bed and I cried into my pillow. And I'm not a depressed person, but I didn't get up for 48 hours. And for me, that's, you know, I think my wife was really worried that something bad was going to happen. And I phoned up the state president of our movement and I said, just want to give you my resignation. And the phone went silent. And then I heard this sound of him laughing. And I'm like, you're laughing at me? That's like seven kinds of evil. I can't believe it. I am shattered. I am crushed. And you're laughing at me. And he says, oh, I thought you were phoning up to boast. We've never had 6,000 people together in our movement. We've never had nothing we've ever done. I said, but they couldn't hear. He says, oh, it doesn't matter. God had his way. I said, no, I want to resign. He says, I refuse to accept your resignation. And I hung up the phone. I thought, I can't even resign right. I am an abject failure. You know what happened then? I was as flat as a tack, but the phone began to ring. The phone began to ring with ordinary people. One guy phones up and he goes, hey, Dave, I got my whole leadership team here. And they just want to say one thing. And he holds the phone out and there's this cheering sound. I said, what are they cheering for? It was terrible. He goes, we don't care. God had his way. And somebody else phones up, my good mate Mick. And I go, Mick, it was awful. He goes, yeah, but it doesn't matter. You did a great job, Dave. We're going to get stronger next year. And I went, oh, really? And somebody else phones up, My little, at that time, he was about 2 years old, my 12-year-old now. And he comes over. He can barely speak a word. He looks up at me. He goes, you're a good man, Dad. It's literally the first full sentence he ever spoke. You're a good man, Dad. I'm like, "Wah!" The power of encouragement. You know what? 2 years later, I stood on a different stage in a different venue, and I looked out on 8,500 people. And the altar call came, and over 1,000, it might have been 1,200 kids that night walked to the front. And I tell you, they were crying, but no one was crying more than me. If not for the power of encouragement, my entire last decade, my whole ministry, I would have quit the ministry, but my whole thought and understanding of ministry would have been marked as failure. Big red stamp across it. Tried ministry, failed. Be an encourager. Find somebody every day to encourage. Find somebody every day that you can represent Christ to, not by clipping around the ear with great Bible verses, but by speaking the words of life into their life. Be a person who it comes naturally to you. It's automatic for you to be a life giver, to be positive, to be upbeat. Oh, Dave, are we trying to do Amway here? No, we're trying to do Jesus here. We're trying to be life giver here. We're trying to be reflect a little bit of Jesus and a little bit of Barney. That's the son of encouragement. And that's it. I'm going to ask you to close your eyes. And I want to challenge you this morning. Find something good about everybody. Be the sort of person, or become the sort of person, when they see you coming, they angle their life and their body to intercept with you. They actually want to bump into you because they know not that you are going to be Christian holy roller with them, but you are going to be encouraging. No matter who they are, be that person. This morning, just as we come to a close, if you feel the Holy Spirit right now, and he's stirring you, he's saying, you can do this, you can be that person. Oh, but I'm not that special. It doesn't matter. You can be a little twig. You can be twiggy. You'll be a little feather, light as a feather. But when you muscle up and join hands and interlock with people out here at Compass, you can form an incredible place of encouragement, safety, and incubation for the young to grow. If this morning in your heart you feel the Holy Spirit and he's saying, that's you, lock in, link arms. I'm already involved. Great. Just know you're doing a great thing. Oh, I'm a bit on the fringes. Great, it's time to link arms. Time to get involved. If that's you this morning, why don't you, no one looking around, quickly raise your hand in the air and let me pray for you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Hands everywhere. Fantastic. Thanks, thanks. Come on, that's you. So yes, thank you. That's me. I want to be part of the nest. I'm going to be a treasure hunter. Thank you. Come on, who else? Thanks, buddy. Yes, great. I'm a treasure hunter. I'm looking for treasure, not mud. Come on, who else? Join this. Let's pray. Thank you. Beautiful. Thank you, Father. Come on, why don't you pray with me? Just quietly under your breath, you begin to pray. Come on, let's do something spiritual, something supernatural right now in this place. It's going to happen in the next 30 seconds. I believe God is going to join you together closer than ever before. I believe the Holy Spirit is moving right now on hearts of people who say, I haven't got anything to give. In fact, I feel spent. I feel empty. You don't understand my life, my past. It doesn't matter. Look at Mark. He could fail multiple times and still write a book that has been read 6.0025 billion times. There is hope for you. Just allow yourself to be used by God as an encourager. Allow yourself to be used by God in your gifting. Come on. Father, I pray right now in the name of Jesus that for every hand that raised, Lord God, all these people say, I want to be an encourager. I want to be part of the nest of the kingdom of God that you're building here at Compass. Lord, I want to do what you have me to do. I want to be a life giver, a treasure hunter. Father, that you would give them the greatest joy this week, Lord, as their words of life go out, Father, as your words of hope leave their lips, God, that they would see the light go on in people's eyes. Oh, Father, that we would be an encouraging people. Lord, that we would be a life-giving people. Father, for that husband who is so frustrating to that wife, that she would take it on this morning, Lord. I am an encourager. That is why I am in that marriage. For those children that are so, they just know how to niggle. That Father, this morning, that dad would put aside the sternness and pick up the words of life and begin to encourage again. In Jesus' name. Just while your eyes are closed, perhaps this morning you find yourself in a place and you go, I feel a bit like Mark. Not Mark the victorious, I feel like Mark who's walked away. And Dave, even as you say that Mark bounced back and his life ended up meaning something phenomenal for Jesus, there's a glimmer of hope in my heart. Because I have walked and I have stumbled and I have failed again and again and again. And Dave, can I be whole again? Can I be close to him again? Could I reach the mountaintop and even beyond again? And the answer is yes. The answer this morning is yes for you. The Bible says that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. All unrighteousness. Oh, that's brilliant news. Brilliant. And my only question to you this morning is, will you confess your sins? In just a second, I'm going to ask you, with no one looking around, to raise your hand in the air. And then I'm going to pray. I'm not going to pull you out the front or anything like that. I'm simply going to pray a prayer. And if you join your heart with our hearts as this nest, as this brother and sisterhood of faith, if you join your faith with ours, I believe that something supernatural will happen. All your muck-ups, all your mistakes, all your sins can be exchanged for hope and grace and a new future. And so this morning, very quickly, just as we pull this into land, and I give you one little opportunity to come back to Christ. Maybe for the first time, maybe for the 51st time, to come back to Christ. If you are not in a good place with God right now, right at this moment, the answer is yes. This is your time. No one looking around. If that's you, quickly raise your hand in the air. Just drop it back down. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you. Who else? Join these five people who quickly raised their hands. Come on, if that's you, you say, I'm just not in a good place. But I would, thanks, buddy, champion. Thank you. Lovely. I want it. The answer is yes. Ready for a new start? Ready to start again? I've done this before. So did Mark. When you get the context, you understand that we're dealing with very real people going through very real situations, just like you. I ran from God, so did Mark. I walked away when it got too hard, so did Mark. He ended up writing one of the greatest books that's ever been written, glorifying Jesus Christ. Let your life do the same. Anybody else, quickly join these 7, 8 hands. Thank you. Thank you. They're phoning it in. One more person, you're battling, your heart's pounding, you're going, no, I'm not doing it, I'm a leader here. That's cool. We've all been there. Last opportunity, if that's you, join these 9 people and let's pray, see something amazing happen this morning before you leave here, before you get coffee. Thank you. Beautiful. Thanks, buddy. Awesome. Okay, everybody, massive Compass voices, pray this after me. Dear Jesus, I thank you for your salvation. And this morning, I give you all of my sins. And I accept you as my Savior. Your grace, your hope, your new start in my life. I love you, Jesus. Help me. In your mighty name, amen. Amen. Fantastic. Can we give Jesus just massive praise for what just happened? For those 10 people, maybe you're at all different places in your walk, and that's great. Please, please, there may have been, maybe Lester up the back, he may have been able to see who raised their hands, but don't wait for somebody to come and tap you on the shoulder. Take this seriously. If you're starting again, start again. Walk up to a life group leader. You have life group leader. Walk up to a life group leader or one of the leaders in church and say, this morning, that was me. See this? New man, if you're a man. See this? I'm starting again. And be ready to start again. Be ready to change. Be ready for new things. Be ready for new challenges. Be a great encouraging people. You are wonderful. God bless you. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, Dave. We will just quickly take up a love offering for Dave. He's been with us three times this week and has blessed us every single time, and is a good friend, and I'm sure we'll have you back. The door is open. You can come anytime. So if you would like to give via credit card, the hoster can hand out an envelope to you, and we will pass that around just to bless Dave, because he has been a blessing to us. So thank you very much again for coming. Don't forget, this week we have life groups, and Shavanta's bringing the word next week. So it's going to be good. Bring your friends, bring your family. I will pray before we give, and you guys are welcome to go after that. All right. Father, I thank you again for this time we've been able to come and gather together as your people, God, in your house. Well, I thank you for what you have brought through Dave this week to our church, God, to empower us and lift us up, Father. God, I pray that you pour out your abundant blessing upon him and his family, God, that you meet all of their needs, God, that you meet the desires of their heart, God, that you keep them safe and protect them, Father. God, and for the rest of our week, also this week, Father, I thank you that you are for us, you are with us, God, and you love us. So, Father, we thank you for this time, God, for what you've given to us, God. Amen. Amen. Thank you for coming and joining us this morning. We'll hopefully see you next week.
Thanks for listening to this podcast. We trust that you've enjoyed the message. For more podcasts, head to www.compasschurch.com.au.